There's a new railroad across America, and it won't run on coal. Welcome to this audio issue of Porter's Daily Journal, published and copyrighted by Porter & Company, all rights reserved. Please note that this recording was generated via AI and may contain minor transcription errors and pronunciation mistakes. Throughout this issue, I may reference charts, graphs, and imagery that can only be viewed on our website at porterandcompanyresearch.com. Issue number 17, volume number 3. It isn't different this time, but it will be bigger than our entire economy inside today's Daily Journal. Essay: There's a new railroad across America. Big tech leans into leverage. China tells banks, back off U.S. Treasuries. A Fed Treasury get-together chart of the day. Caterpillar today's mailbag: it isn't different this time. Over the next 5 years, you're going to hear, again and again, that nothing like artificial intelligence, AI, robotics, and automation have ever happened before. But of course it has. The world has been transformed in unimaginable ways many, many times. The printing press was probably the single most transformative invention of all time. The railroads reordered time and space across entire continents. Electrification eliminated almost all physical labor and, like God himself, brought the light into the darkness. The combination of semiconductor computing, solid-state memory, and photonics, aka the internet, rivals the printing press, and perhaps supplants it, as the most important invention of all time. Never forget, wealth accrues to optimists. Luddites decried all these changes. Lots of publishers got rich selling scared people, newspapers, pamphlets, and books about how these innovations meant the end of the world. Ask me how I know. So, yes, it has happened before. And no, it doesn't mean the end of the world. In fact, we have a very good roadmap of what's about to happen. I expect the coming automation revolution, the combination of AI and robotics, will rival the build-out of the U.S. railroad networks as the largest and most valuable capital investment of all time. Investors haven't yet figured out how much capital will be required to automate the world, but it's far, far more than most people can imagine. Amara's Law describes how humans inevitably react to bona fide technological revolutions. We tend to overestimate the effect of a technology in the short run and underestimate the effect in the long run. Let's consider the railroads. Between 1860 and 1910, roughly $20 billion was invested in building out America's railroad networks. That was 400% of the entire national GDP in 1860. In other words, the capital investment into the railroad network was four times bigger than the country's entire GDP when the major capital spending began. If you were to scale that to today, we should expect to see $120 trillion invested into achieving full economic automation over the next 50 years. The markets went sideways last week when, during quarterly earnings announcements, big tech companies, Google, Microsoft, Amazon, Tesla, Meta, committed almost $700 billion for 2026 on data centers, chips, and robotics integration. This is up more than 50% from just last year. But consider the numbers above. It will not be long before more than $2 trillion a year is being invested, and our entire economy will be transformed. The keystone to this revolution won't only be NVIDIA chips. These changes will require an unprecedented amount of new, always-on power supply. Today it's very difficult to imagine how enough energy will be produced, but it will come from new sources that aren't feasible today. How do I know? The railroads. America's first major railroad, the Baltimore and Ohio, opened in 1830. It hauled coal from western Maryland and Virginia to Baltimore. By the mid-1800s, railroads lowered shipping costs by 90%, making coal a national fuel source. Coal production exploded. U.S. coal production grew 32x, from 8.4 million tons in 1850 to 270 million by 1900. This new energy fueled more than just railroads. It fueled America's massive industrialization, steel mills, and factories, creating billions in new wealth. In 1860, America's biggest industry was flour. Growing wheat and grinding it into meal was the biggest single industry in the United States. But the railroad, and barbed wire, as I wrote about last week, led to a massive boom in cattle ranching. By 1890, beef, slaughtering, meatpacking, became America's biggest single industry, $525 million annual revenue, and remained so until the First World War. The cattle boom would not have happened, along with so many other things, without the enormous amounts of capital that were spent building the railroads. Ironically, considering how much wealth they helped create, the railroads were, for the most part, lousy investments. They rarely earned enough to cover their debts, and their repeated failures, 1857, 1873, 1883, sparked market panics. Investors, upon seeing the iron horse emerge, would have been far better off buying what those horses ate, energy, and what those horses were clad in and rode on, steel. Most people know that Andrew Carnegie became the wealthiest man in the world, and probably the wealthiest man of all time, relatively, by selling his company U.S. Steel to J.P. Morgan in 1901 for $500 million. But how did Carnegie get the capital necessary to start building steel mills in the first place? He invested $40,000 in an oil field in 1864. It would pay him over $1 million in dividends over the next decade, fueling his investments in steel. With those dividends, Carnegie built his first blast furnace in 1870 and a second furnace in 1872. With those profits, he founded the Edgar Thomson Steel Works in 1875. Who bought his steel? The Pennsylvania Railroad. And, this is the most important part of the story, the critical step to controlling the steel industry was controlling the supply of energy. Carnegie partnered with Henry Frick, whose vast Pennsylvania coal mines included over 1,000 coke ovens. By 1889, they'd consolidated into Carnegie Steel Company and built the greatest fortune the world had ever seen. What's the equivalent today? I'm certain that just as coal fueled the Industrial Revolution, uranium will fuel the age of automation. Cameco, CCJ, is the world's second largest producer of uranium, making about 20% of the world's annual supply from mines in Canada. It has a very low cost of production, $20 per pound, and seems likely to dominate the industry for at least the next decade, and possibly for much longer. Centrus Energy, NYSE, LEU, is a critical American nuclear fuel producer. Longtime readers might remember my history with this business. Hint, it used to be called United States Enrichment Corporation. It's long been one of the world's major suppliers of LEU, low-enriched uranium. U.S. lightwater reactors run on LEU, which has up to 5% the fissile isotope U-235. Centrus is also developing HALEU, for high-assay low-enriched uranium, fuel production. This is nuclear fuel with between 5% and 20% of the fissile isotope U-235. HALEU is the fuel source for the latest generation of reactors, called Gen 4, such as small modular nuclear reactors, SMR, because it facilitates small reactor cores, higher power density. Longtime holding BWX Technologies, BWXT, is the world's leading SMR company. Starting in the 1950s with the USS Nautilus, it built all of the U.S. Navy's reactors. Today it maintains reactors on Ohio, Virginia, Seawolf, and Los Angeles-class submarines, along with Nimitz and Ford-class aircraft carriers, roughly 100 reactors. It is also developing a top-secret new mini-reactor known as Project Pele for the U.S. Department of Defense. Shares of Cameco are up 700% plus in the last 5 years. Centrus Energy is up 1,000% plus in the last 5 years. And BWX Technologies is up 250% over that period. Yes, we picked the most conservative way to play this trend, and, over time, that will prove wise. Many investors seeing these moves will call it a bubble. It isn't. It's the beginning of a revolution that's so big it dwarfs our entire current economy. That doesn't mean we're buying these stocks today, but it does mean we want to own a lot more uranium. Tell me what you think about today's Daily Journal, or anything else. PorterStansberryDirect@gmail.com. Good investing. Porter Stansberry Stevenson, Maryland. 3 things to know before we go. 1. Big tech leans into leverage. Alphabet, GOOG, is raising $15 billion to fund its AI endeavors via a high-grade bond sale, signaling a preference for debt over its massive cash reserves. This move is a strategic bet. Alphabet assumes its AI-driven returns will outpace the locked-in interest rates. However, should AI demand soften, Alphabet could be left holding depreciating assets and long-term debt that was otherwise avoidable. The scale is unprecedented. Combined, Alphabet, Amazon, Meta, and Microsoft are projected to spend $650 billion in 2026, a staggering 60% surge over 2025. 2. China tells its banks to limit exposure to U.S. Treasury bonds. According to Bloomberg News, Chinese officials have advised its banks to limit new purchases of U.S. government debt. Chinese banks hold about $300 billion of dollar-denominated bonds. The move was officially positioned as addressing concentration risk and market volatility rather than U.S. creditworthiness. However, the shift would align China's banks with the government, which has dramatically slowed its purchases of U.S. government debt in lieu of gold in recent years. 3. The Warsh-Bessant pivot. Federal Reserve Chair nominee Kevin Warsh is advocating for a modern Fed-Treasury accord to synchronize the Fed's $6.6 trillion balance sheet runoff with the Treasury's debt issuance strategy, headed up by Secretary Scott Bessant. In practice, this coordination could shift the financing mix away from long-term bonds and toward short-term treasury bills, effectively reducing long-term supply and easing pressure on yields. While such tight cooperation blurs the line between monetary and fiscal policy, potentially undermining Fed independence, America's fiscal reality leaves little room for maneuver. With the national debt mounting, unmanaged interest costs now pose an existential threat to the federal budget. Chart of the day. Caterpillar jumps. Again, Caterpillar, CAT, continues its record-breaking run, hitting an all-time high of $738 today, bringing the stock's total gain to 97% since it was first featured in Porter's permanent portfolio. Mailbag. I'm ready for SaaS to sync. Paid-up subscriber Raymond H. writes, Porter, just an observation from an old man. I will be ready for SaaS, software as a service, prices to implode as AI expands. When I started my law practice 51 years ago, there were no computers. Then they came, and I tried to stay on the leading edge of the new tools and software. From 3.5-inch disks to CDs, I discovered that every upgrade was a pain in the ass to try to learn and was merely an excuse to sell a new product. My experience is that every upgrade just made the software harder to use. Then the ultimate financial insult was SaaS, whose additions provided nothing more than I already had, but at a continuing expense. Yes, I own stock in Microsoft, MSFT, and Intuit, INTU, in self-defense. I am a slow learner, but I finally realized that my old disks performed the same tasks as the SaaS, so I reloaded them and dropped the subscriptions. Since I am near the end of the law practice road, it probably will not affect me much when their prices drop, but it will give me some pleasure on account of their price gouging. I sold MSFT today when it hit my 25% trailing stop, then bought Alphabet, Google, per your instructions. I marvel at the nitwits who try to tell you your business. Sarcasm just exposes their ignorance. In the last 20 years, you have taught me more than any other service I ever subscribed to. I started late, but I believe that we will be able to survive based on what we have learned and earned. I have 110 bagger. I am grateful. Thank you for all you do. Resetting evaluation. Paid-up subscriber Alex V. writes, Hello Porter, I have been adding positions from Porter's permanent portfolio and some analysts are questioning Wolters Kluwer, HHE, primarily due to AI disruption of software that you mentioned recently. It is down almost 40%, which normally would scream buy. Could you please opine on whether it still belongs in the permanent portfolio? My guess is the valuation may need to be reset, and if that is the case, is it still a stellar stock? I appreciate your thoughts. Porter comment. Alex, Porter's permanent portfolio takes a buy-and-hold approach to investing in equities. It buys a diverse portfolio of equities, for a full year, as part of a non-correlated, multi-asset strategy. It buys and holds because trading in and out stocks based on short-term movements is far more likely to reduce returns than be accretive. It's also a great approach for people who want their money to work for them without having to watch it every day. If you read my daily journal from last Wednesday, you've seen the arguments for lower software equity multiples. Today, the very best tech investors in the world aren't certain about software earnings in a decade. The global tech stack is being rebuilt around AI, and it's not clear what role, if any, software companies will play. If I had a crystal ball, then I wouldn't have bought the software companies in the permanent portfolio. Microsoft is down 21%, Wolters is down 40%, and Oracle is down 53%. And if I had a crystal ball, then I could tell you that these declines are way overblown and it's time to buy these stocks. Oracle is up 11% today, so it could be the bottom. But I don't have a crystal ball, and that's the irony about your email. The permanent portfolio is based upon the reality of uncertainty. We don't have a crystal ball. So you can try to guess, or you can invest in a portfolio approach that's sure to win because it's diversified across many great businesses and because it contains offsetting, non-correlated businesses and assets. Last year, everyone complained about the property and casualty, P&C, companies. It didn't occur to them that gold, which soared, is designed to hedge against the poor performance of bonds, aka P&C companies. This year, infrastructure is up big: Illinois Tool, Caterpillar, Union Pacific, Taiwan Semiconductor Manufacturing, and so is Pharma, Johnson & Johnson, Eli Lilly, Roche. These positions tend to go up when software goes down. Investors don't seem to realize that the portfolio is built like a seesaw. Some things are going to go down, but other things will go up, a lot more. Software is 3% of the entire permanent portfolio. If all of those stocks go to zero, it will not materially impact our portfolio. Overall, we're way up so far on our equity positions. We don't have to guess to win. And that's the point. The biggest problem with Porter's permanent portfolio this year is Bitcoin. We have a 12.5% weight to Bitcoin, and it's down about 40%. If you want to guess about something, buy more Bitcoin. Going forward, I suspect I'll break our hard money segment into equal thirds: gold streamer, gold bullion, Bitcoin, instead of half gold, half Bitcoin. I am very bullish on the long-term value of Bitcoin, but the volatility probably makes a 12.5% weight too much. Even with Bitcoin having a major drawdown, Porter's permanent portfolio is still up 28.6% since its establishment in September 2024, outperforming the S&P 500 plus 23.2%, and that's with holding 25% in cash and with volatility less than half the markets. If you're leveraged into the permanent portfolio, you're up more than 50% so far. Why bother guessing? Please note, the investments in our Porter & Company top positions should not be considered current recommendations. These positions are the best performers across our publications, and the securities listed may, or may not, be above the current buy-up-to price. To learn more, visit the current portfolio page of the relevant service, here. To gain access or to learn more about our current portfolios, call our customer care team at 888-610-8895 or internationally at +1-443-815-4447. Thank you for being a paid subscriber to Porter & Company. We hope you enjoyed this audio issue.